All right, good morning. Man, it's good to see all of you. My name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church. And if you're a guest with us, I want to welcome you to worship here at Prestonwood. We are so excited that you've chosen to be with us today. Today is Mother's Day, a time when we can stop down and celebrate all of our moms, all of the ladies in our lives. We would not be who we are without the women that God has used to mold and to shape us. And one of the things that Tasha mentioned a moment ago, just with all of the ministry happening in the life of our church, is coming in just a few weeks, and that is our Vacation Bible School. We call it here at Prestonwood Adventure Week, and our Adventure Week registration numbers are already through the roof. I think we have nearly 1,400 students that have already registered. We think that could creep up near 2,000 kids at the North Campus for Vacation Bible School. And there's no way for us to be able to properly serve and to minister to all of those children and families if we don't have a number of volunteers to pull that off. We need hundreds of volunteers to make Vacation Bible School go here at Prestonwood. And so I am asking you, as your pastor, all of you who are able, would you prayerfully consider serving as a volunteer that Adventure Week? And if you are an adult and you are able, parents, grandparents, singles, friends, family, we need your help. And so here's how simple it is for you to register as a volunteer. If you would just text the word adventure to 55125. Every one of you can do that. You actually have smartphones, and you could grab them right now, and you could shoot that text message, adventure, to 55125. I am asking you to do this because there's no way for us to serve the number of students that we believe we're going to have if we don't have hundreds of volunteers to pull that off. So would you prayerfully consider, some of you even taking time away from work and your plans and your family, if you would prayerfully consider serving with us, we desperately need your help. So all you have to do is just text the word adventure to 55125. We'll follow up with you and get you connected and make sure that you are well prepared to serve. And as I mentioned a moment ago, it is Mother's Day. It's an opportunity for us to stop down and to celebrate all of our moms and grandmothers. And yet I know that for some, this is a day that has a bittersweetness to it. And that is because some of you are remembering a mom who has already passed away. And so today is tender for you because you are grieving and missing your mom, and others of you desperately want to be a mom, and God has not yet made that a possible in His plan. And I just want you to know a couple of things. One is your church loves you. Now, we love you. Prestonwood loves you deeply and dearly. And I would say this, more importantly, God sees you. And so wherever you are on this Mother's Day, I pray that you would know and experience the peace and the presence and the nearness of God. If you would, grab your Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Some of you might be thinking, wait, hang on, Pastor, we didn't finish Romans 15. And that's true. You are correct. But we will come back to Romans 15. We're just going to jump ahead a little bit this week. And the reason for that is because in Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul introduces to us a woman who had great spiritual significance in the advancement and in the building of the first century church. This woman's name was Phoebe. And I think there's a great deal that we can see and learn from Phoebe, along with being introduced to a number of friends that the Apostle Paul had within the church at Rome. And the big idea that we're going to see today in Romans chapter 16 is the supernatural gift of relationships. Did you know that we were created for relationships? God made us, each and every one of us, to experience a blessing and a benefit from having relationships. And the greatest place for those relationships to exist are within the church. It's within the redeemed people of God that God intends for us to experience this great blessing of community. In fact, we were created to experience the primary relationship, which is vertical. That is a reconciliation between fallen people and a perfect God. And through the faith in Jesus Christ, we can experience a reconciled vertical relationship with God, which then transforms all of our horizontal relationships with one another. In fact, I would contend some of the reason why we struggle so much in our horizontal relationships is because we haven't paid enough attention to the vertical one that exists between us and God. And in my life, this is the testimony of relationships is so significant for me. I would say that I've had great experiences in my life. I've gotten to do some really cool things. I've gotten to go to some really cool places and really had some great experiences. But without exception, the greatest gift in my life has been the relationships that I have. It's been the friendships that God has given for me to enjoy. In fact, this week in my personal Bible reading, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, he who obtains a wife finds a very good thing. It is a favor, the Bible says, of the Lord, a gift. And I was reading that this week, and so I took a screenshot of the text. Y'all know I write in the margins of my Bible, so I took a screenshot of that and sent it to Mary just with a little note about how much I loved her and how grateful I am to God for her, because outside of my relationship with Jesus, she's the greatest gift that God has given to me. And yet, at the same time, I also have a friend this week, and there was just a little bit of tension in our friendship. And so I had to pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, man, what's going on? We need to talk. I don't like it when things are like this between us. And we were able to do that and clear the air and laugh and tease and horse around. And that relationship was very quickly reconciled. Because the reason that burdened me is because relationships matter to me. See, of all the cool things that I've gotten to do, of all the great experiences that I have had, relationships are the greatest gift that God has given to me. And today in our study, we're going to see Paul introduce us to a few of his great relationships, to a few of the most significant friendships that he's formed. So that's where we're going to be. Romans chapter 16, we'll start reading together in verse number 1. And we're actually going to read this in two parts. I'm going to concentrate our time today in verses 1 and 2, but I think it's worth us reading 3 through 16, and we'll just talk a little bit about some of the people that Paul introduces to us. Romans chapter 16, starting in verse number 1. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Now, before I jump into verse number 3 and on, I just want to say, if you're a guest with us here at Prestonwood, one of the things that is foundational to us as a church is that we believe in God's grace. We preach God's grace. We are all recipients of God's grace. And today, I'm going to need you to extend to me some of God's grace. If you haven't tried to pronounce some of these names, it is difficult, okay? So just be gracious with your pastor as I try to read these names to you. You know, my dad taught Sunday school in the First Baptist Church for years, and when he would get to passages like this, he would just change their names. He would be like, and Larry and Ernie, and I'm like, I'll try to do my best, okay? Verse 3, greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. If you're thinking, this sounds familiar, it is Priscilla and Aquila. It's the same people that you've read elsewhere. It's just the rendering of their name in the original language. Same people. They're actually mentioned 5 times in the New Testament, which is quite significant if you know your scriptures. This is a husband and wife ministry team. They do great things for the gospel. Paul is deeply grateful for them. They actually host a house church there in Rome. They've been wealthy benefactors of some type or kind. They've actually put themselves physically in harm's way for the sake of Paul and the gospel that he is carrying to the nations. He says this in the second half of verse 5, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Now, we doubt that whether or not the Apostle Paul actually led Epaphras to Christ, but perhaps scholars speculate that someone that Paul led to Christ then led this brother to Christ. And there's something supernatural and significant when you recognize God has allowed you to be a part of someone's spiritual journey that has led them to faith in Christ. You know what I mean? There's just something really cool when you enjoy a relationship, and in that relationship, you know that God used you and someone that you knew or some relationship that you had or something that he allowed you to do to bring a friend or a fellow brother or sister in the faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. I love this. Paul just stops down and honors this woman for her hard work, serving others, but doing so in the name of God. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. They are all well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. This couple, might be a part of the Apostle Paul's actual family, but they definitely have an acknowledged authority within the church. In fact, Paul says they were actually Christians before I was. And Paul recognizes this brother and sister, this couple, actually has an acknowledged authority there in the church at Rome. Verse 8. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Rufus is from East Texas. I knew a Rufus. He worked on cars. He was awesome. Also, his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. I didn't stop down to talk about each one because the fact of the matter is we don't know a great bit of detail about all of these friends of the Apostle Paul. But what I want to draw your attention to is you can very clearly see the personal way in which Paul spoke about each person. You can actually hear the affirmation and the appreciation that Paul has for these friends that God has given him in the church. Think about some of the ways in which he introduce them. He would say, my beloved in the Lord, or our fellow worker in Christ, or my beloved, or one approved in Christ, my kinsmen, those workers in the Lord, one chosen in the Lord. And he said, and a woman who's been like a mama to me. Here's it. A man who had a deep and abiding affection for these friends that God had given him in the church at Rome. And yet, when Paul writes this letter to the church, he is not in Rome. But through the work of God, the redeeming work of faith, Paul had these forged relationships over his life and ministry, and he valued them deeply. And you can tell by the way he spoke about each one personally. It just makes me, this isn't in the notes, it just makes me wonder how many of us right now need to just press pause, maybe write a name in the margins of our Bibles, maybe make a note on our phone, and we just need to thank God for a friendship in our life today or maybe one day this week. Write them a handwritten note. Shoot them a text message. Tell them how much they matter to you. I'm so grateful for the relationships God has given me within this church. I have brothers in this church that will text me for no reason. Just words of affirmation. Just say things like, hey man, praying for you today. For whatever reason, God brought you to my mind. I just want you to know I love you and I got your back. I'm in your corner. I'm grateful for you. And anything you need, anything I can do. Aren't you grateful for the life-giving relationships, the life-giving friendships you have in your life? Did you realize that that's God's grace to you? That's God's gift to us, that he would give us these deep and profound relationships, and the most significant ones are in his church. Because that relationship is reconciled vertically, then God gives us these wonderful relationships horizontally, and they are strengthened and enjoyed and experienced most often within the family of faith. And then in verse 16, Paul kind of concludes this introduction, and he says, greet one another with a holy kiss, all the churches of Christ greet you. I would just say this, that sounds a little strange to us, right? This was all pre-COVID. But what you need to understand is Paul is saying, as you greet one another, do so with an affection and with an excitement. It's like the way in which you feel about someone, you should greet them in that way. So I think there's some things we say, some sayings that we have that the Apostle Paul might find a little strange as well. I've had people say for years and years and years, I just need to hug your neck, right? Paul might think that's strange. Like, you don't want the rest of me, just the neck, right? Or some people will say, come here, I need to put the paws on you. Let me just put the paws on. I got a dear buddy in East Texas. He's like, I'm going to put my paws on you. Come over here. Like, And my wife has this weird thing. Like, our staff, we have a great staff, a lot of young couples that are having babies. And when she sees little Maddox Burt or she sees little Oliver Vargas, my wife will pick them up and hold them up, and she'll show me, like, the back of their leg, and she'll say, "You see this? I just want a nya-nya-nya." I'm like, like, that's cannibalism. That ain't right. All the ladies are like, "That makes perfect sense." No, it doesn't. But there's a tenderness, there's an affection, there's an appreciation that God intends for us to experience and enjoy. And I want you to notice the context of which these relationships are forged. This is in the church. This is within the family of faith that God gives us these great, wonderful relationships, these life-giving relationships, whereby the Apostle Paul wants to say things like, "That brother's chosen in the Lord. She's a worker in the Lord, appointed in Christ, my kinsman, my beloved." There is this wonderful affection and appreciation that God intends for his people to experience, and it's best known within the church. And here's what you should know about the Apostle Paul. I love this because no one can argue whether or not he was a wonderful minister of the gospel, arguably the greatest missionary in all of human history, authored about 70%+ of our New Testament. Paul was for sure a soul winner, no doubt about that. But evidently, according to Romans chapter 16 and what we just read, is he was a friend maker as well. See, here's what you and I should know and underscore and highlight for our life. You ready? Ministry never happens in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. Maybe there is a place for someone to withdraw for all of their life and do nothing but give themselves over to writing, but it doesn't seem to be most often that God uses people who are unwilling to make friends. In fact, I read a commentary this week. He said, "It seems that the servants used most by God make most friends." So we need to be a people that value relationships enough that we would extend the hand of friendship to others. And what I love about the Church of Jesus Christ is that God does this with people we might not otherwise think we have anything in common with. In fact, as we read this list of friends and relationships that Paul introduces to us, I want to point out a few things about those that I think are supernatural. I think they're significant, and they might cause you and I to think about the significant relationships in our own lives to see if we would have a list that would be worth sharing. Here's the first thought I have. This list of friends is very diverse. This list of friends is very, very diverse. So there are husbands and wives. There are men and women. There are slaves. There are people of wealth. There are those who are young. There are those who are older. There are those who have positions of influence and social standing, and yet Paul seems to be friends with all of them. Paul seems to speak tenderly and personally about all of them. This is the drum that we're going to beat until Jesus Christ returns. You ready? The miracle of the Church of Jesus Christ is the diversity of the church within Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's this beautiful tapestry of God's grace woven in the lives of people who are so much different than us. And Paul has great, supernaturally significant relationships with people that you and I might not think he naturally has anything in common with. But the greatest commonality that is shared in the church is the salvation that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. That regardless of where we grew up or how we grew up, we can share this commonality that Jesus Christ showed up and he saved us. And that's pretty cool. And Paul says, "This is my friends." And this list is very, very diverse. Here's the second thing I would point out. About this list of friends, women are featured prominently and positively within it. Women are featured prominently and positively within it. Now, we might not think much of it today, but again, we always need to read Scripture in its context. And here's what's important. Of the 26 names that are given in Romans chapter 16, 9 of those names are women. And so it might not seem like a very big deal to us, but if you'll remember the first century, when the church was being advanced, women did not share equal social or legal standing with men. So when Paul writes with such affection and affirmation of women, it is quite significant, and he is making a great statement about their value, their dignity, their worth, and their necessity in the advancement of God's church. It is important for us that we embrace a biblical understanding on the inordinate value that women have within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just to be clear, it is my personal conviction, and it's the conviction of this church, that as it relates to the office of pastor or elder or bishop, in the Greek, the presbyteros, that office is reserved for men. But it should also be known that our clear biblical conviction is that women are every bit as equally important in other distinct and necessary roles for the flourishing of God's church and the advancement of the gospel that bears the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we be a people who talk most about all the great ways in which women should serve in leadership for the advancement of God's church, rather than try to make much of the limiting ways in which God decides to organize and order the church differently than that. Because I think it's worth remembering, it was women who were entrusted with the greatest single reality in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus. It was women who were entrusted with the understanding that Jesus Christ died on a Friday for the forgiveness of sin, but he rose on a Sunday for the salvation of all who would place faith and trust in him. It was women who were entrusted with that message of hope. It's important for us to remember at least two different women, Rahab and Ruth, are recorded in the scriptures within the genealogy of Christ for their sacrificial heroism that preserved the covenant work that God was providing for us through his son, Jesus Christ. It's important for us to remember that according to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, women were clearly a part of the discipleship group that accompanied Jesus, ministering alongside of him and financially providing for the work that God sent him to do. It was women who were the last ones to leave that horrific scene of the crucifixion of Jesus on Calvary's cross. And it was women who were the first to show up on that redemptive scene of the empty tomb. And perhaps most importantly for our conversation today, it was a woman named Phoebe who was entrusted with the delivery of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Scholars are almost unanimously in agreement that Phoebe was the mail carrier. She was the servant that Paul had chosen and entrusted to deliver this letter to the church in Rome. And I want you to think about the significance of that. Think about this, that if Phoebe was the deliverer of this great theological treatise that the Apostle Paul had penned, she was likely the first one then to read it and explain it to the gathered church there in Rome. And this letter is significant. I mean, we've been walking through it for the last year, but you recognize we could give our lives to studying the book of Romans and never exhaust all the wealth that is found within it. And if you're the Apostle Paul and you've just penned this letter of your life, right? Then who would you entrust its delivery to? Well, Paul entrusted it to Phoebe, a woman, a godly woman. In the first century, when she might have been seen culturally without social or legal standing equal to that of men. And this is what Paul says, I need you to see and appreciate Phoebe. So I want us to spend the balance of our time seeing what we can discover about her life that was so special, and what can we learn from her about her leadership that might grow and shape our own. This is so important for us to see and embrace. Again, go back to Romans 16, starting in verses 1, we'll read 1 and 2. Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. That word commend, it can mean to praise, it can mean to honor. It also means to entrust something to the care of someone else. And so Paul is saying, I'm honoring Phoebe, I'm praising Phoebe, and I am entrusting Phoebe to your care. And then he goes on, he says, a servant of the church at Cenchreae. Now, Cenchreae was a port city about 15 miles away from the city of Corinth. And if you know anything about the city of Corinth, it was a very significant city of trade and of commerce. And Cenchreae was the port city most closely associated with Corinth. And Paul says, Phoebe was a servant. That word servant in the original language, it's diakonos. It's where we get our word deacon. She was a deacon in this church. And in verse 2, it says that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. I'm just going to share with you briefly three realities that we can see just from these two verses about Phoebe's life that I believe should be celebrated and emulated in our life as well. If you're a note taker, let me encourage you to write this down. The first thing is this: Phoebe's life was marked by her salvation. Phoebe's life was marked by her salvation. In verse 2, Paul says, Phoebe deserves a welcome and a relationship worthy of someone who belongs to God. The New Testament language is that Phoebe is a saint. And I know that from time to time when we want to explain that we're all sinners who have fallen short of God's glory, there'll be sometimes when we're tempted to say something like, well, you know, preacher, I'm no saint. Okay, well, then you're not a Christian. Because a saint in the New Testament is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just a saint who is also a sinner and in need of salvation, which makes you a saint. And Paul says, Phoebe is a Christian. She deserves a welcome embrace like someone who is a part of our family and faith. And what's so significant about this, with all of the wonderful attributes, and we'll talk about a few of those, that she was a servant, she was a patron, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But with all of the wonderful attributes of Phoebe's life, do you know what Paul wanted to emphasize about her first? The greatest reality about the life of Phoebe should be the same great reality about your life and mine. And that is this: Phoebe belonged to Jesus. Her life was marked by her salvation. It wasn't best remembered or most celebrated for what she did or what she had. Paul emphasizes at the outset that she's a saint. This woman belongs to God. Her life has been redeemed. And I would say this to every single one of us here. Of all the things that your life is going to be celebrated for, the one thing that matters most is whether or not you belong to God. Parents, grandparents, family members, did you realize, moms, the greatest gift that you can give your kids is a faith that is yours in Jesus Christ? It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest reality. It's the greatest necessity every person has. In fact, I just celebrate the women in my family. You know, I tease all the time, Coleman and I are stewarding, as well as we know how, a very vibrant women's ministry at the Bales family. I have four daughters. I'm married to an amazing woman. I mean, we're doing our best here, okay? But my mom is amazing, an amazing woman. She loves Jesus very much. In fact, she'll be here in the next service, and we'll celebrate Mother's Day with her this afternoon. And I'm grateful for the ways in which she raised us and the faith in which she instilled in us. But of all the great things my mom has done and all the ways she sacrificed and served, the greatest thing that I know about my mother is that she belongs to Jesus Christ. In fact, I would say the same thing about Mary. Mary's an amazing mom, truly. If you know our family dynamic, then the requirements of her motherhood are significant. They're exhausting. She's up early, and she goes to bed tired all the time. But because my wife's greatest reality is that she is a Jesus girl, then that means that she just gets up earlier to meet with Jesus in the morning, and she goes to bed later so she can pray Jesus over our kids at night. And it's the greatest gift that God has given to me as a wife who loves Jesus. Nothing can matter more than that. Phoebe's life was marked by her salvation. What would mark yours and mine? Second reality we should see is this: Phoebe's life was meaningful with her service. As I mentioned a moment ago, she was a deacon from the church at Cenchreae. She held an office of service, and she ministered faithfully in that leadership role. And I know hundreds of women in our church who faithfully serve in the exact same way today. Their life has significant meaning because of the ways in which they are serving God and serving others in His name. I'm so grateful for friends who will show up and drop groceries off at the doorstep when they discover your entire family has COVID at Christmas. I'm so grateful for friends who will show up in the hospital waiting room and wait out an 8-hour heart surgery, holding your hand, praying, rubbing your back, and reminding you, in Jesus, it's all going to be okay. I'm so grateful for friends that are willing to serve at Vacation Bible School. I'm so grateful for friends who are willing to step up when they get a late Saturday night text and they discover we're short volunteers needed to make ministry happen for our kids on Sunday morning. Phoebe's life had meaning because of her service in God's church. Number three, Phoebe's life was multiplied through her sharing. The last part of verse 2, Paul describes Phoebe as a patron. That's a great word in the original language. It indicates that she might have been some type of a wealthy benefactor, but we know that she used her resources to serve the Apostle Paul and to advance the gospel that he carried. It reminds me of the woman that we read about all the time in Proverbs 31. We don't know if Phoebe was entrepreneurial or if she just had some sort of trade, but we know that she had resources, she had means, and from those resources, out of those means, she used those resources to advance the ministry and the mission of the church. She shared. So too should we be a people who share. Out of what God has entrusted to us, we would sow into what God is doing around us. That we would be generous people and our life would be multiplied through our generosity, marked by our willingness to share. Again, I was telling you about my mom. My mom has this rhythm, and she goes to the Wendy's in Coppell multiple times a week to order iced tea. I don't know what it is about the iced tea at Wendy's. I'm a frosty guy, you know what I mean? But when my mom goes, she's made friends with everybody at the Wendy's. And they call each other by name, and my mom tips in the drive-thru. And she'll pray over them, and she'll tip them, and she'll tell them, God loves you, and I'm thinking about you, and how's your son, or what's going on with your move, and whatever it is, my mom's gotten to know them, she tips them, and out of that abundance of generosity, her life is multiplied, and there is a kindness that is known, and there is a Jesus that is seen, and so too it should be with us. I'm so proud of that. Like, I never knew it until one day I was just in the car, and I was like, you want to stop and get a drink? Let's go to Sonic. And she was like, we're going to Wendy's. Okay. You see, Paul highlighted these people. He emphasized to this church the celebration of his friend Phoebe because relationships matter. And so on today, this Mother's Day, I'm wondering for some of you how many God might have brought to mind. Because there's a relationship in your life that needs to be reconciled. Is there a fractured friendship, a relationship in your life group, or even within this church? And it's just not what it should be. It's not what it once was. And maybe God is placing this burden on your heart today because He knows that relationships are a gift that He gives. And He wants that relationship reconciled for you. If you want to pray with somebody about that, in just a moment, our staff will be here at the front of the room. We would love to pray with you, pray over you about a relationship in your life that God needs to restore. Maybe it's a family member or a friend from a long time ago, and it's just not what it should be. It's not what it was. Well, we want to pray with you about that. We'll pray for you about that. Others of you, I believe the primary relationship in your life that needs attention is the vertical relationship between you and God. Look, is it possible that maybe the reason why the horizontal is such a struggle is because the vertical is so neglected? Is that possible for you? And so today would be a day where you just need to get right with God. I don't know if you need to begin that relationship with God or if you need to return to that relationship with God. Maybe today is a day where you would say, hey man, I want to partner with Preston Wood. I believe that we're going to be better together, and this idea of community and the relationships that God intends for us to experience and enjoy in His church, I'm all about that will come forward and let us know about the desire you have to join God's church. I just believe on this Mother's Day, when we're celebrating the relationship in families, that today is a good day for all of us to be reminded of what God's desire is for us in the relationships that are a blessing to our life. And so I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, we'll enter into our time of invitation and worship response. And it'll be up to you as to whether or not you want to move or say or do anything, but I would ask you to be obedient to whatever God has said. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done. Father, I pray as we enter into this time of invitation and worship response, we would be obedient. And I pray for every person here who has a relationship that is fractured, that is missing, that is lost. I pray that you would bring that to their mind and give us the willingness to want to see it reconciled and restored in Christ. Lord, we love you and we know we can do no good without you. And so right now we commit ourselves to you and we pray through you in Jesus' good name. Amen.